evening, ladies, gentlemen, and others. You are listening to the Weeb Trash Can Podcast. I am Byron D0, the host to be the most, and I just want to say hi. We got a little trio going on here, doing the thing.
Number two of the trio tonight, Maggie B here, what's going on?
And as always, saving the very best for last. Yeah. Megatron here with the smoothest voice, bringing heaven straight to your ears.
You guys get as sick of him as we do.
Y'all love it.
I'm going to go a little off topic. I was like, the three of us are kind of like still licking our wounds from Avengers Infinity War. All kinds of feels going on here. It was a thing.
Oh, no. Thanos demands your silence. We'll speak no more of it.
Oh, of course not. But I'm just saying, we're still salty. Yeah. That's all we're going to say.
I'm not salty. It was beautiful. It was well done.
There were feels.
Lots of feels. Yeah. Yes. Feels. Not salty feels, but many feels.
Yes. But moving on. Tonight, I'm going to articulate this very wrong. I know what the topic is. We are talking about favorite anime OSTs.
Yeah, all right.
Woo! Yeah, I can be taught. So, for the uninitiated, official soundtracks. These are, and not just like music playing in the background, this music that is made specifically for the show. My pick for tonight has to be FLCL or Furi Kuri.
Furi Kuri.
Furi Kuri. Probably one of the most essential series to the Western anime series.
I'm giving you a look.
Fight me.
It's a good one. It's a good one. I don't know that I would call it one of the most essential.
I'm not saying the most. I said one of the most.
Okay. All right.
It's one of the most important. It definitely.
Again, sorry. We'll not fight about this.
Okay.
Right now. We're going to talk about the soundtrack.
I'll be the discerning voice. It is a very, very interesting anime.
Yes.
It's only 6 episodes, and it packs a lot of themes, tropes, feels, and all sorts of other things in these 6 jam-packed episodes.
A lot of punch. It's an incredible series. I'm not arguing you there.
Season 2's coming out soon!
Yeah, it is!
Not soon enough. But we digress. We're talking about the soundtrack, which was penned by at the time, a little-known group known as The Pillows.
The Pillows.
Yes.
Not so little-known now.
Oh, God, no. They somehow composed and produced this amazing soundtrack that each song tells, like, a certain aspect of a certain story. One of the most memorable songs in the show for me has to be Runner's High, which was the intro to Haru Haru Haruko. Mm-hmm. She just comes zooming in on her Vespa, flailing her guitar around, going, and the entire time I'm just like, I didn't know the first thing about the soundtrack when I first saw this, but I know that badass drum solo, like, and I'm just like, what the hell is this? And like, God damn, like, I knew this show was going to be something special when I heard that. And lighter songs like One Life, which was like the more somber melody playing when characters are having their heart-to-heart. Or just having like a casual conversation. There were just a lot of songs in this series that took advantage of those slice-of-life moments where there was no action going on. And again, it's just a great use of music telling a story. And then other iconic songs like Little Busters. Little Busters is definitely one of my top 5 battle themes. Mm. This show kind of like turns the idea of like robot battles on its head. But Little Busters is definitely like a quintessential like I'm about to save the day type song.
Yeah, it's epic.
Mm. Epic doesn't even begin to describe how mind-blowing that song is.
With our limited human language.
Yes.
Hey, I'm reading Shakespeare. I'm catching up.
Details. Minor details. It's fun. It's bombastic. It's just, if I had to like use like an onomatopoeia to describe Little Busters, that would be it.
Explosion noises.
Yes. Explosion!
I just want you to know, Brian's nerd antlers are in full erection right now.
No. When are they not? What are you talking about? You've known me for half a decade.
I've never heard the term nerd antlers. I like that.
you've known me for half a decade, and you're just making this establishment now. Okay, moving forward.
Yeah. So what in particular makes this soundtrack so special or so unique to this show and to your heart?
Well, to my heart, it made me just fall in love with The Pillows as a band.
Yeah. Mm.
God, the anime Boston performance is one of my favorites.
Incredible.
It's, yes, like, probably my second favorite, like, anime convention concert next to Lock on Seal.
That one, too.
Yes. You know, The Pillows have such a great energy on stage, mm-hmm. and you just can't help but jam out with them while they're playing. And even, like, with their, even with their lighter, their slower songs, you're just, like, swaying along with it. And how can we not talk about Ride on Shooting Star? You hear that bass intro. It's like, you know it's coming. Mm-hmm. You know that badass ending theme is coming. And it's just like, it's a great send-off for like the journey of each episode.
And it's catchy too. Like I've found myself humming that several years down the line. Mm-hmm. Like after watching Fooly Cooly. I was on the train in Boston and I was like, yeah.
Where did this come from? Thanks, brain.
Yeah.
Like today, I was like, when I was going to work, I'm like just getting reacquainted with the soundtrack, and I'm on the bus. I'm just like, Ride on Shooting Star, Kokoro no Sagashite. Like, I'm just like mouthing it in my breath. I'm like, I don't want people to get annoyed. Like, I'm eyeing the toothless bum on the bus next to me, I'm just like,
I'm in public.
Like, do not judge me. You just asked me for change 5 seconds ago. But you could get on the goddamn bus. You have no right.
It's definitely one of the best albums I've heard in terms of, like, OSTs. Because mm-hmm. it's got a mix of everything. And it's got, like, punch, pizzazz. It's got some slow songs that you could, like, snuggle up with. And it's just, I don't know.
It's got some poppy songs, too. Like, yeah. There was this one song they're called Pink. And it's like, there are no lyrics to it. It's just like, la, 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 la. And I'll just be like, pop my head like, la, 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 la. Usually in the privacy of my own room, but.
Usually.
I have no shame. Leave me alone.
It's real, man. If you could bump that with all the bass in the world in a car, you would.
Yes. Anything more I could say about the Fooly Cooly soundtrack would just be me repeating myself. So I'm going to end it there. Mags, what you got for us?
Oh, man. So, I have the actual winner for original soundtrack, best in the goddamn world,
yes.
Cowboy Bebop.
Oh, yeah. Let's jam.
This soundtrack was composed by Yoko Kanno, who was also the director of the show as a whole. Like, she put together this music episode by episode. Put together the band, the Seatbelt, specifically to create original music for this show.
Yeah.
And Yoko's primarily a jazz musician, and this series really reflects that. There's a lot of amazing jazz, and it changes and solidifies the tone of the entire show.
Yes.
Every single episode that you see, every battle that you see, and you've got this chaotic jazz music playing in the background to go with this truly chaotic pilot, and then everything still somehow comes together into the end in this beautiful symphony, and it's so good. I also hugely appreciate, outside of jazz, this show, I find that their music, episode to episode, always perfectly reflects whatever episode you're on or whatever moment you're on within the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the biggest tone changes are accompanied by a departure from jazz to the blues. There's an episode very early on, Sympathy for the Devil.
Yep, yep.
And
with the harmonica.
Oh my god, you have this supposedly little kid playing the blues on a harmonica, and it's just, I don't think of the harmonica as a soulful instrument, but god damn is it.
Yes.
It's incredible. And in the end, it turns out, I mean, I guess major spoilers. So like I said, you know, you've got the jazz, the organized chaos for most of it with Bebop and the off the cuff and the reacting and dueling things and yes. everything all just snap, snap, snap going. And then you have an episode where the soundtrack is the blues and it's about this ancient soul trapped in an unaging body of a small child. And he's doing terrible things, but at the very end, you end up feeling sympathy for him, and that blues soundtrack is playing underneath, and you feel that beast deep inside him that can't get out, just coming out through this music. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely incredible.
Yeah, and that's a great metaphor for what the blues is.
It really is. It really is. A lot of times, I found in modern society, the blues and the jazz get confused a lot just because of they both came out of the same time period and they both came out of the same idea of the suffering of the African-American people in America, but they're very different iterations that came out of the same source.
Yes.
The blues is, like I said, it's that just deep-rooted, unspoken emotion that literally wells up and bursts out of you, almost without control, and you can feel that soul to it. Mm-hmm. Whereas jazz is a lot more high-speed, off-the-cusp, and it's attempting to put all these incredibly disparate and conflicting beats and instruments and players all together into one cohesive unit, and it's good jazz is hard to find because mm-hmm. it's hard to do that.
Yeah.
And it's very, very good. It's creating a sense of harmony or melody out of all of these incredibly disparate elements and the syncopation and feeling out of place mm-hmm. and just all of it coming together. All the people coming together to try and make something.
So, like, just so you can, like, understand it in a way that's simplified, imagine trying to have a conversation with somebody who doesn't speak the same language as you do, and you're trying to communicate as best as you can in a way that you can bounce back off of each other. That's what jazz is like.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, no, I like that description a lot.
We were talking about this earlier. There were certain episodes where, like, the use of non-synchronous sound in the series mm-hmm. is brilliant.
It is.
Ave Maria.
I was actually just about to get into that the third major musical genre that you hear, there's a lot of jazz, there's a lot of blues, and there's also a lot of soulful, slow gospel music.
Mm-hmm. It's almost operatic.
It is. It's absolutely, it's operatic gospel. And it's not just Ave Maria. There's a couple other gospel tunes in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like Green Bird. But it's the, yes, Green Bird. Oh, Green Bird.
Rain is kind of a gospel-esque song.
Yes, too. Rain definitely takes roots from that. And you find those moments happen pretty much exclusively when your main character, Spike, is dealing with incredibly deep things from his past, dealing with Vicious, his nemesis, dealing with Julia, or the memory of Julia, the woman who loved him, who saved him.
The Syndicate.
The Syndicate.
Wow, yeah.
All these things that are so far beyond him because he's already given everything he can possibly give to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have these moments where it's coming back and he has nothing left to give, and he's a jazz guy. He works with what he's given, and he has these moments where he has nothing left to give, mm-hmm. nothing to work off of. And it's almost like, and Spike is a notorious atheist. He doesn't believe in anything. Mm-hmm. And adding that music gives you that sense of he's almost calling out to a higher power because there is nothing else for him to do.
Yeah. I wouldn't even say he's a nihilist almost.
Nihilist.
Yep,
for sure.
I think that would be an appropriate way. So it's really incredible because these are sentiments that you're never going to get from Spike's mouth. But adding that soundtrack to it gives you that deeper element that still gets you that theme, that mm-hmm. deeper meaning mm-hmm. that he's never going to say, that he's never going to show in his body language, no. but you know that's what's going on, like, in his mind, in his soul.
Yeah, there are times where he drops a few nuggets, like, where he's fighting Vicious, and Vicious calls him a beast, and he says, no, I bled all that kind of blood
yeah.
away. And then there's also...
It wasn't even, it was a hungered beast, a violent beast. Mm-hmm. You have the blood of a killer, of someone who needs to pursue violence.
Yep.
And he so specifically says, I bled all that blood away.
And then there's this other one where he's talking about how he has an artificial eye. And he's trying to forget the final, past.
The second to last, the penultimate episode.
Yeah.
Right. So he's saying that, you know, he's trying to leave the past, but he can't because he has one artificial eye and his real eye. And he's living in this duality
yeah.
where he's trying to move forward, but he never can. And it's just,
and
like,
again, you get the music reflecting that.
Mm-hmm.
You get the, and that's when things of the spiritual sense are playing.
Mm-hmm.
In your day-to-day, he's a jazz man, and you hear the chaotic jazz, and you see him doing fighting with and flying his spacecraft and chasing. I mean, he's a bounty hunter. It's a chaotic life,
mm-hmm.
and he loves it. And you hear that so constantly reflected in, like I said, episode to episode. They even add in little like background noises to reflect
yes.
exactly what's happening. In one of the early episodes when they first pick up Ayn, the dog,
yes.
during
episode
that
two.
Number,
yep.
there are, like, pet sounds
mm-hmm.
in
yes.
the music.
Yep. Or even, like, even with, like, the ending theme, like, how, like, oh. it culminates
Dude, we,
the story.
Yeah, we See haven't even
Cowboy.
Talked about, we haven't even talked, I mean, I could be here all night raving about Cowboy Bebop, but
yeah.
as episode to episode kind of stuff aside, the opening and the ending themes.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about, and if you want to talk about the use of jazz in the dog fights in the series, like
yeah, that's what I was saying. It's
yes.
all those chaotic elements just coming together and
what planet
working
is this?
Off what in planet
the, yes.
is this?
Oh my gosh!
Which is on fun, like little side story about me. It's on my B-boy playlist. Like
mm-hmm.
those few times where I actually get to practice dancing, like. That's like me, like, even when I'm just, like, practicing my steps on stream, it's like, dun, 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 dun.
Oh, man.
If you want to see a competition between a saxophone and a trumpet, what planet is this?
Fuck
is
yeah.
Your,
yes.
is
oh,
your
yeah.
song.
And that's, Tank does that, too.
Mm-hmm.
It has those, what planet is this, Tank, and that's part of so much
also
what I
the
love
re,
about.
The loop, I'm going to get the loop V remix is brilliant.
Yeah, the remixes are good, but I'm a sucker for the original stuff because
yeah.
you can hear the off-the-cusp competition that's
yep.
happening between
yep.
the dueling
yes.
instruments.
Yep.
And the remix is good, but there's an added artificial aspect to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm just a real sucker for that, like I said, those naturally disparate and sounds and melodies complementing each other and battling each other and complementing each other and somehow all coming together.
Yeah. And, like, because Cowboy Bebop is such a musically inclined anime, there's almost a rewriting of every episode because every episode is titled after a specific song or
yes.
a band or an album or whatever.
Yep.
And you can literally, so Sympathy for the Devil, Rolling Stones, right?
Yeah.
You would have never have thought, you know, pleased to meet you, can you tell me your name, mm-hmm. right?
That is not the sound.
That is not
of that
how
episode.
Sound happening. Mm-mm.
It's, yeah.
You get this woeful soul pouring out
Ugh.
Of blues. And what's amazing is that right at the end of it, it doesn't leave you hanging because there is a bliss in ending.
There's a resolution, and it's the resolution that you were hoping for, but you still feel...
Tainted.
Yeah,
yes.
You still feel very sad. So, I mean, again, I've said right off the bat, there's going to be spoilers. Spike ends up finding the one thing that can kill this guy, that can make age catch up to him, and shoots him with a specially made bullet tipped with the stone that can do this.
Mm-hmm.
And you watch this child... age and basically age to dust. And at the very end, he's just gasping out, "Oh, I see. I can finally die now. Isn't it wonderful? Mm-hmm. I see it. I understand. Mm. Do you understand?" And he ends just repeating over and over again, "Do you see? Do you understand?"
Yeah. Which, I mean, it just plays off of Spike, because Spike is just trying to leave his past behind.
But yeah.
He never really
It keeps catching up to him. He can't do it.
Yeah. One more thing about Sympathy for the Devil. We didn't mention this in our episode about voice actors, but that's one of my favorite Mona Marshall performances. Like, and her vocal performance coupled with the soundtrack of that episode just gives me chills to this day.
I got chills just thinking about it.
Right?
Yeah.
I was in preparation for this week, I was rewatching Bebop, and I just threw it on in the background. And the music, the simple piano music that accompanies the montage flashback that the series opens on.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching, oh my God, chills. Because again, it's this simple, almost childlike, beautiful melody overlaying these complicated, violent events, but it all comes down to honestly very simple and childlike motivation.
I mean, not to mention the lyrics of the song, you know, "I see your face and I see your face and smile."
Yeah.
Is this woman reminiscing but also letting go of her lover?
Yes.
At the same time,
it's incredible. It's incredible. So yeah, no, this whole soundtrack, there's so much music in this series. And one, I hugely recommend that you watch the series if you haven't. It is the number one thing that I, going back to episode one, where I talked about gateway anime.
Yeah.
This is the one that I recommend to people. And it's partly because the soundtrack is so incredibly engaging and just adds so much to it in so many different ways. It's genius.
All right, so departing from all that heaviness, I'm going to give you a palate cleanser. All
right.
What a Groovy Trick from Air Gear.
Okay.
So Air Gear is a story about pretty much like high-tech inline skating, but it's being done from the point of view of teenagers. So this whole idea of freedom and being able to fly is very big in the anime, and it's reflected in the music. And so Some of the titles, right, of the songs: Sky Grinder, Love Sensation, Overcooled, Somebody Funk, Vertigo High. Like all these songs, right, they stand out to you as you listen to them in the anime, especially the song Overcooled, because it comes in when the main character is reflecting. It comes in when the main character is having a love moment with the female of the series. It comes in when he's having that moment where he's losing, but he needs to pick his own self up. And so you have all these different songs and rhythms that are playing out all together. And it comes in a form of some electro funk, Daft Punk, electric swing type of thing happening all at once. And so you get some of the craziness of jazz, but it's electronic. Mm-hmm. You get some of the melancholy of blues, but it's electronic. You get some of the ampness of a guitar, but it's electronic. And so all these different sounds that are pushing and pulling and elevating and dropping, it slows you down and it speeds you up. And it's a lot like being a teenager who's like running and rushing after whatever it is, but you know that the instant you catch it, you don't know what to do with it. You know, it's full of all this like love and energy and just like poppiness, where it has depth, but you gotta search for it, because on the surface it's all about what's there. You know,
I mean, that's a great parallel for like the overarching theme of finding freedom and some. Like, even with the ending theme, Sky So High.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you can listen to it superficially, but when you think about the characters, Ikki kind of just, he's trying to find what he wants in life more than anything. And you get that, and you just get, you kind of get that feeling of like him trying to reach for the heavens
in that ending. Every time. Like every when he has that battle against the beast, or whatever his name is.
Yes.
So the whole idea is that the reason why he's the beast is because he's regulated himself to only wiping out everybody who's below, because he feels that being able to fly, in quotation marks, is a gift that you need to earn. And so he's clipped his own wings so he can make sure nobody else can fly unless they've earned it. And so I forget the song that plays during that whole battle scene, but, you know, Icky is able to prove to this dude that he's like, no, I am worthy to fly. And, you know, it's not on me that you can't fly because you chose to try and be a regulator. That's on you. And so there's this battle song, but then there's also this song of, like, of reflection, where Overcool sort of kicks in, and but then it just kind of like elevates into something greater as Icky beats the beast. It's amazing.
It's a fun show. I mean, I highly recommend rewatching the series, and not just for the soundtrack, but just for like the overall experience.
Mm-hmm.
Don't read the manga.
Yeah, the manga is upsetting. Just like the ending to Air Gear can be upsetting. But you
I was
know
gonna
what?
Say you've definitely talked about this show before.
I have, and you know
you did it for the disappointing endings episode.
Yeah. It is,
yeah,
because it's such a great anime, and it just falls flat. It's like getting ready to go outside, and then it starts raining. Like, you know, you got all your summer clothes on, and you're looking mad, cute, and fly. And then you step out the sun, and then the sun gets covered in clouds, and boosh, it starts raining. Like, that's what it feels like.
Oh, it's like trying to take off and getting your wings clipped.
Yeah.
Oh! On topic.
There you go.
Damn straight.
Wow.
What a groovy trick.
Yes. Anything else you got for us?
I mean, listen to the album, especially, so the song Love Sensation, I was listening to it on the way here, and I got so giddy, like you ever seen, what is it, Bear in the Big Blue House, so he starts shaking like this?
Man, you want to talk about original soundtracks, Bear in the Big Blue House killed it for a kid's show,
right?
Real good.
That song made me just want to, like,
do that shake. Do that big bear shake.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, man.
All right, so if there's nothing further, I guess we can go into runner-ups.
Sure. One quick thing. I wanted to mention 606 couldn't be here tonight because she got stuck at work, but she made sure she wanted us to mention that UC Big Girl from Attack on Titan Season 2 soundtrack is the only anime song that matters. Her words. But she felt very strongly that we had to bring that up as her pick.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. Attack on Titan as an IP has some really epic music
to
it.
Oh, yeah. Epic all capital letters. And it definitely, the soundtrack reflects that in a real big way. The soundtrack for that show is excellent. It manages to catch that, to capture that sense of hope within helplessness.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a reason that Gurren no Yumiya is on my workout playlist.
Mm.
It's like, I hear it coming on, and I'm just like, I'm like curling my waist, I'm just like, I'm punching Titans.
All right, let's go kill some fucking Titans. Let's do it.
It's like, fuck you, Kyojin! yes.
Sound just like Akira there.
Oh, my goodness. There
right,
I go.
Byron, what's your runner-up?
Oh, my runner-up is another Shinichiro Watanabe property. Samurai Champloo.
WTF.
Yes! Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Runner-up.
Oh, we can gush over that together.
Okay.
I'll just lightly go over it. I love me some hip hop. I love me some New Jabez. I'll leave the rest to you, Megatron.
All right.
Yeah,
no doubt.
Since I'm not going to talk anymore about that, I'll talk about another one. Kids on the Slope.
Okay.
It is probably like the lesser known of like the big three of Watanabe's properties. It was another collaboration with Yoko Kanno. It's not an action series. It's all about jazz. It's done in, like, I want to say 50s or 60s Japan. Mm. It's about this relationship between these two high school friends. One of them is, like, brawler kid who wants to start a jazz band with a pianist who is like, focused on his studies. Mm-hmm. And through tossing and turning, they end up forming this very unbreakable bond. And since it is central focus is music and about jazz, it plays it to the full effect. And it's some of the best piano I have heard in a long time. Not just for an anime soundtrack, but just for jazz. Like, mm-hmm. It understands, like, student level jazz on a level that I can't even put into words. Being a non-musician myself, I don't think I could do it justice with an explanation. But if you like Slice of Life and you love music, I highly recommend Kids on the Slope.
Kids on the Slope, all right. What you got?
I was actually just going to say something about anime that's music incorporated into, like, live performances. So band anime. Mm-hmm. And the original music that they come up with that the band in the show plays. Gravitation, Daikon Brothers, Beck.
Yes!
Yeah! Beck. Yep. We'll go in Top Squad.
Yes. Yeah.
Also a great live-action movie, by the way.
Just kind of a shout-out to stuff like that. And again, that it works so well with the original soundtracks go that extra distance to actually be a part of the show, to be not only adding to the show, but literally the writing and performing of them is the show itself.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's always a really cool thing to see when it's well done.
Yeah. So, as you heard earlier, by my outburst, I can reel myself in. I got you. Samurai Champloo Departure. I think that's the name of the OST. And you want to talk about culture clash? You got samurai culture and hip hop culture meshing together. And so, you know, samurai culture is super disciplined, super reserved, super calm. Hip hop culture is all about flash style and just being all up in there in your face. And so, yes. You see it in comparison with Mugen and Jin when they clash together, but they can't beat each other because they're just so good at what they do.
And the animation style reflects that. Yeah, that conflict
too. Graffiti, like a graffiti aesthetic, different. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got the opening song, which is a rap song sung by, do you remember his name? I don't remember his name.
I do not. All right,
well.
We have the internet.
Yes.
Yes, we do.
Continue talking. I will,
The opening is called Battle Cry, and I think the name of the guy is Fat John or something like that, but it's called Battle Cry, and the opening sequence that's in comparison with the song is so dope because it's real chill, but underneath all that chill, you have this reserved violence, which I think is very indicative of hip-hop culture and just growing up in an urban setting. Yes. In general. Because, you know, everybody is all cool and whatever, right? But, you know, a gun's going to be clapping in the background eventually.
Yes. And blood will be spilled.
Yeah, that's the reality that I've lived, you know, where you could just be chilling on a Sunday afternoon and then pop, 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 you got to rush inside.
Because... Yeah. We can both relate to that.
New job is.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yes. The guy is the person New who does is. Battle Cry.
And so
the late great Jun Saiba himself,
mm.
still a loss of music as a whole.
Yeah.
But
so you have this awesome duality of samurai culture and hip hop culture clashing and also working together in this fluid motion where you have all these like crazy hip hop undertones with all this feudal Japanese society stuff. You got beatboxing. You've got deep bass, kind of like my voice. Yeah. you've got all these like dope instrumentals that are following a beat and like 16 bars, quite literally spat by Mugen at times. And it's just a treat it's an auditory treat for you to
mm-hmm.
listen to.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Sneak Chamber, best song in that show.
Mm.
Fight Me.
No, I mean,
I don't think anyone wants to.
You know what? No. I'll say best song in the show is not even a rap song, but the best song in the show is the ending.
Okay.
That's what I would say is the best song on the show.
All right.
Because that's like the number one song that has stayed in my head since forever. Mm-hmm. I heard it because it was coming out of somebody else's like earbuds. I heard it and I was like, they're either watching Samurai Champloo or they're listening to the OST.
They're true. Well, I think that's enough of a discussion for tonight. We have gushed in great detail about soundtracks to various animations that have been formative in our own geekdom, our own otakudom. And, music in any IP, not just anime, is an important part of the experience. Mm-hmm. Movies like Black Panther, I feel like that would have cheated the experience if it didn't have that brilliant score and that amazing soundtrack from Kendrick Lamar.
Star Wars.
Yeah.
John Williams. Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones, yeah. No, a soundtrack, and I know that we tend to say this about everything we talk about, but a good soundtrack can really make or break something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it adds to or detracts from the tone.
Yeah.
And within those same soundtracks and overall sound effects.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I mean, the roar from Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we all got that immediately playing in our heads. You can hear it.
Mm-hmm.
The moments of the complete absence of sound is incredible. Going back to Cowboy Bebop, there's a moment during Heavy Metal Queen where Spike literally says, hey, we have to use my ship as a bomb to get the hell out of here. They said, well, what are you going to do? I'm going to do my space jump. And he holds his breath and he just shoots out into space to get to the Heavy Metal Queen, who's been blasting heavy metal music this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And when he's in space and he's showing this, I mean, not this simple act of complete trust,
mm-hmm.
it's completely silent.
Yep.
And if we're talking about the absence of sound, Buffy.
Oh, yes.
Buffy, the episode after her mother dies, the first several minutes of that episode are in complete silence. There's no sting. There's no music in the background. There's no nothing. And you could have very easily put tragic piano playing in the background, but the utter lack of sound.
Yeah, that daunting silence.
Yes.
The utter loss and that daunting nature.
Mm-hmm. Even as you described, I'm picturing it in my head. Honestly.
Oh my God, yeah. So, you know, soundtracks and sound effects and the strategic lack of sound can just bring something to the absolute next level. Which is why we chose to talk about it.
Absolutely. It's very important.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're listening to this, I feel like most of us will be making an effort to go to Nauticon in the coming weeks.
If you're at Nauticon ever in the future, I'm actually one of the hosts of Drunken Karaoke. So if you ever come to Nauticon and you head to Drunken Karaoke, the lady on the crew is me, Maggleby. Come say hello, and I will be shocked that you listen to this and question your sanity, but be thankful.
Okay, then. Is that your outro?
Sure, why not? Maggleby signing out. Thank you. Thank you for bearing with our insanity. Have an excellent week.
All right, this is Byron D. Zero. We are all over the interwebs now. We're on iTunes and Google Play. Like us there too. Byron D Zero signing out.
This is Megatron signing off with the smoothest voice. Bye.
Deuces.